And now I'd like to introduce our special guests for today. Kristen and Danny Adams are here with Holton Harper also. And kind of their typical pattern is on Fridays, I guess they often cut their videos, and then they do lots of other speaking engagements in addition to that. And so I share with you now a montage of some of their YouTube video clips. Will you watch with me?
Hey guys, it's Kristen and Danny.
What's up?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
We're gonna go see our new house for the first time.
We're in the mountains right now.
Yes, las montañas.
I always want to go to the moon.
Rocking the red lipstick in the rain. So we're gonna get coffee and watch other people fall on their
face. That's right.
Shush your mouth up.
Bob your head. Bob your head.
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Oh, Rihanna.
Okay, bye.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Danny.
And we have our children with us today. You guys want to come out and say hi real quick? Can you say hello to the fine folks here?
All right.
Harper's wearing her big girl purse today, a new Easter purchase, everybody. And can you tell everybody your name and how old you are?
I am 7 and I'm Harper.
And do you have a scripture you want to tell everybody?
Mm-hmm.
John 1:1.
What was it again?
Come on, we worked on this all morning.
The one you meditated on day and night.
That's right. No, in the beginning.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
That's right. And I think she has a knock-knock joke because, you know, we told those this morning already, so she said she has one too. Go ahead.
Where do cows go to entertain themselves?
Where?
The movies.
Yeehaw!
They like that one. So it wasn't a knock-knock joke. They were ready to say, who's there? Sorry about that.
And who do we have over here? What is your name, sir?
Holt.
Give it to him one more time. What is your name?
Holt.
Holt. Okay. Holt, yeah. And how old are you, Holt?
4.
4. And when is your birthday?
We worked on this all morning.
October.
Okay, he's got it now. One more time.
October.
25. I just decided not to open my mouth when I talk. And that was October. October.
October 25. Thank you guys for coming out. You guys can go hang. Go ahead. Tell your birthday real quick.
November. Wait, what?
We homeschool. Don't judge us.
November 26th.
All right, great job.
All right, thank you guys.
Future Harvard grads, give it
over
up.
Over there.
You guys did awesome. You can go sit with Shannon, okay?
We only have 30 minutes. Why
we only
did
have
we
30
bring
minutes.
Them
out? Yeah, we just used 6 of them. All right. So yes, we're so excited to be here with you this morning. I know a lot of you that attend the traditional service are like, "What is going on with the electric guitars and these viral video sensations? What happened to our home church? But we're just so grateful to be with you and to give God glory for just all he's done in our lives and in our marriage. I think it's a great series that you guys are in, and it's much needed in our churches to just remind each other of how what God thinks about marriage and how important it is to building his kingdom.
Absolutely. And Kristen and I used to be a little naive to think that any sort of teaching, counsel, anything talking about marriage was reserved for people who had issues. Like, you had to wait till you had issues to actually get some teaching on marriage. Little naive. And we realized that we have issues.
Yes, that we have issues.
Yes. And we just didn't see the benefits of getting any type of counseling within marriage, which makes no sense at all.
Right.
We train for everything else. We train for sports, for jobs, but we don't always get the tools necessary to be successful in our marriage.
That's right.
And so when we got sort of revelation of that, we started getting counsel and started getting training. And even to this day, even though Chris and I have the opportunity to go out and speak on relationships, we still check in with our mentors to get counsel, because I'm sure you can agree that there are different seasons of our life. Mm-hmm. And what you and your relationship looks like now with your spouse is much different than it looked like maybe when you first got married.
Exactly.
Because there's different seasons and experiences within life change you and your spouse.
Absolutely.
So we're forever going to need more counsel, more preparation, more tools necessary for those next seasons of life. So we love that you're talking about relationships at this time of year.
And we're passionate about it.
Very passionate.
You have to stay fired up and you know, getting God's heart for relationships.
Absolutely.
And for marriage. You know, Danny and I used to think that a godly marriage meant a conflict-free marriage. And that's just a ridiculous goal. To have a conflict-free marriage, because I don't know about anyone else in here, but I sin sometimes. I have a thought that I shouldn't have. I do something I shouldn't do. I put myself before others. Maybe I'm the only one in here. You guys look pretty holy. But we used to think that a conflict-free marriage was what we were supposed to be having, and because we weren't having that, we felt guilty or like we weren't doing something right. And so we had to really adjust our mindset on that and get in the Word and realize, okay, we're not going to eradicate conflict. That's just not going to happen until Jesus comes back. But we can shorten the distance between the offense and the reconciliation. So like what used to take us 3 days of silent treatment to get over in the house, you know, now only takes us like
two and a half days right there.
Yeah, it's
yes, because it's baby steps with the Lord, people. I mean, who's trying to dive
all in?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Everyone
so
has
it
their
is
own
glory to glory, right?
Glory
so
to glory.
We want to take you guys back a little bit, because we weren't always making family friendly videos. Like Pastor was saying, we do post a new video every Friday. We weren't always doing that.
And we want to tell you about us and just. You've seen what we do on Fridays, but we want to take you back and where, Kristen, start
yes.
with you. Where are you from?
That's what I was doing. Yeah. I'm from Texas originally and from Dallas. And I got my start, I guess, on a little show called American Idol, the very first season back when Kelly Clarkson won. And I was in line to audition in Dallas, and someone tapped me on the back, and I turned, and it was Kelly Clarkson, but before she was Kelly Clarkson, right? She was auditioning, right? And she said, excuse me, this is going to sound really weird, but are you Miss Burleson? Guys, I'm from Texas, right? So I had competed in one pageant in my whole life, and I won the thing. So at the time, I was Miss Burleson, and she recognized me. I wasn't even wearing, like, my sash and crown, people, okay? This was like, no one has ever recognized me at this point as Miss Burleson. And I'm like, yes. Yes, I am Miss Burleson. And she's like, well, I'm from Burleson, and I see you all the time on the cover of the Burleson Star. It's so nice to meet you. And that's truthfully how Kelly is, just a down-home, like, sweet little Texas girl. So we auditioned, like, in line together. And I'm just going to show you a little bit of what happened during my audition, if we have that ready.
I would say yes to Hollywood.
And I say yes to congratulations.
Yes, yes. The great thing about that is just minutes before, my audition song was Fallen by Alicia Keys. Do you guys remember that one? I keep on falling. Yeah. In and out of love. Okay. So I sang Fallen, and then I fell under the table, and I ended up making it, even after all that, to the top 30 of that show. And then they hired me back on the second season as a co-host with Ryan Seacrest. Does anyone remember me co-hosting the second season of American Idol? No, I don't know how you remember, because they cut me out of the entire show. She was raising her hand to make me feel better. It's okay. They actually cut me out of the entire show before it went to air. And so that was like, what, 15 years ago?
Yes.
I was only in therapy for 15 years, so yes. I've been good the last 2 weeks.
Praise God, he is good.
He's good. But there's Seacrest and I when we were hosting the second season, and clearly he was showing me the ways of Hollywood, which was spray tanning, teeth whitening, and highlights. Those are the things that you need to make it in Hollywood. Look at us. All you see is teeth, and we look like Oompa Loompas hosting the second season. of American Idol. And so from that, I moved to Los Angeles and had a 15-year career hosting television shows. Got to do a lot of fun things. I worked red carpet events, worked behind the scenes, and interviewed a lot of great people. So I just brought a couple images of me interviewing some folks. That's me and Conan O'Brien on in his office there at Warner Brothers lot. That's Betty White and I on the set. I know, everybody loves Betty. Everybody loves Betty. We just need Jesus and Betty White, and it just brings everybody together. You know what I'm saying? And then there's me and Matt LeBlanc. I'm a Friends addict. If it's on, I'll watch it again. And then Sesame Street, that was a really fun job. I got to do a whole half hour behind the scenes of Sesame Street. Growing up, you sing, how do you get to Sesame Street? And so it was pretty awesome that I got there. I was so excited. But out of all the great fun I had in LA for 15 years, the best thing about my entire experience living in LA was meeting this guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
what were you doing in LA?
Yeah, well, I got my start right here in Indianapolis. So I'm from Indianapolis. I grew up on the near west side here of Indianapolis, and I competed in sports a lot against the Carmel Greyhounds. They came and always pretty much won. Again, I'm not bitter.
We were in therapy for different reasons.
Exactly. I was just talking to a gentleman outside about the Shepherd brothers, and I used to compete against it was either Dave or Billy's son, Jeff, in basketball quite a bit when I was growing up on the near west side. So it's great for us to be back home in Indiana. I'm back home again. And so I grew up there, but I went off to college, and sports was huge in my life and family, and football was like the main vehicle that allowed me to play sports in college. And after college, I went and actually played overseas in Europe a little bit. There's a photo there of me playing overseas. That is actually in Switzerland. So I was able to play in like three different countries over there and just loved lacing up the cleats and doing a passion of mine. But after I hung up the cleats, to dial you back, my family and I used to travel around here in Indianapolis in the Midwest and put on like variety shows of singing and doing skits and things like that.
So you wore wigs at a young age, too.
Wore wigs at a young age, yes. It was in the DNA, which I'm still doing now. But we, after football, I hung up the cleats and went out to Hollywood to pursue entertainment. And so I was out there pursuing comedy, but in comedy, you don't make a lot of money, so you got to figure out, how do I survive in Los Angeles? So you sort of piecemeal your work together. So I was doing commercial work and stunt work, and specifically, I was doing stunts for sports commercials. And I have a couple shots up there. That's me diving over a mat. Not real sure, but they needed someone to do that. The next shot is me and Drew Brees. So I was doubling him this day. So what happens if you've ever seen an NFL commercial or a sports commercial where you see the professional athlete, they don't do any of the stunts. If they're to take a hit or do anything physical, the million-dollar man is not about to do that. So they bring in that. What happened is basically in the commercial, if he's about to take the hit, the director will say, cut, get him out of there, and bring the dummy in. And let him take the hit. So I did that on a number of commercials. That was with Drew Brees. That's a show called Key and Peele. It's like a Comedy Central show I did with them. The next one is with Alec Baldwin. He did a line of Capital One commercials, which was a lot of fun. He's actually a pretty good athlete. I doubled Peyton Manning a few times. And so that's sort of what I did.
You forgot to take a picture with Peyton. You were like, it was your idol growing up.
I know it.
And you forgot those both times.
Yes. So that's what I did, and then I got to do a dream of mine, and that was to take my comedy and do a one-man comedy show. That's a shot of me there in the middle, surrounded by a whole lot of me. So there were like 12 different wardrobe changes I did within my show. Kristen was my wardrobe coordinator.
That's right.
Backstage.
Nothing tests the strength. You can see the girl next to him, that's Honey, that was based on a cheerleader from George Washington High School downtown. They actually mailed us an authentic uniform for him to wear out in L.A. when we did the show.
We had some healthy cheerleaders, by the way.
We had some healthy cheerleaders back there. So backstage, nothing tests the strength of your marriage like putting pantyhose on your man in under 60 seconds or less. I'm just saying, you should try it. It's a great test to see where you're at. Yeah. But that was a lot
God
of fun.
God forbid I get a runner or something.
Exactly. I introduced him to Aquanet and clear nail polish. The ladies know what I'm talking about. All right. So that was really fun because this was probably 6 years ago when we did Danny's one-man show, and we did it for 3 seasons.
Yes.
And we didn't know what God had in store for us in this season of our life, but he's always using wherever we're at to prepare us to where we're going.
Absolutely.
Even when we don't see it. Even when we don't see it. It's just absolutely true. You could feel way off the mark sometimes, and nothing surprises God wherever you're at. Wherever you're at in your career, wherever you're at, if you're a single person, if you're married, and you're not where you want to be, it's not a surprise to God. It's just not. And who you're with is not a surprise to God. He has a reason for you guys to be together. I love the lyric of that song that we're better together because you truly are. If you're married, then you are better together. There's something he can only get to your heart by being married to that man. There's something he can only get to your heart, sir, by being married to that woman.
That's right.
And you guys are each other's refiner. You're the iron sharpens iron in each other's life. Those differences that irritate the heck out of us sometimes and frustrate us weren't there to irritate us, weren't put there to irritate us. They were put there to shape our hearts and to sharpen us and to make us look more like Jesus. But we have to let that work happen, and it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we want to take you back to our testimony of knowing Jesus, because Danny grew up in the church and singing around with his family and doing those variety shows. I grew up going to church in Texas, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Went to church every Sunday, but didn't really know Jesus. I knew the motions. I knew how to stand and recite some things and do some stuff, but I never opened the Bible in the week. I never applied the teachings to my life. And so when I moved to LA, I quickly fell away from my faith. I didn't start going to church. I just started hanging around with other people in the entertainment industry that didn't necessarily have a heart for God. I met Danny early on, and I knew that he was a good guy, and I was just drawn to that aspect of him. We were friends for a long time before we ever started dating.
Yeah.
When we did finally start dating, one thing Danny didn't tell you, that when he was piecemealing his work together in LA, he was a personal trainer. And so I went to him for personal training because I was working on these television shows and needed to get in shape. And you tell your personal trainer everything, like you do your hairstylist, you know what I mean? You're just sitting there, you're doing exercises, and you just start spilling out things. And had I known we were going to get married, I wouldn't have told him half the stuff I told him during that season of my life, because hello, ammunition for later. And so I'm just like telling him everything. So he saw the good, the bad, and the ugly early on, and he still pursued this reckless, crazy heart and woman over here. And so we start dating. We move in together 6 months after dating because we justified it like everyone else in LA at least does, because rent is high in LA, and why not? Everyone else is living together before they're married. Let's move in. And it was a horrible idea. We were trying to get all of the blessings of being married without actually being married, and that didn't really work. We had a lot of high highs, but a lot of low lows. We knew how to have fun, but we brought a lot of baggage into the relationship, and it was very codependent and not healthy.
Yeah.
So in the midst of our funk and junk, you got the crazy idea to start going to church.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, yes. And I will say this, our relationship was very immature. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had no coping methods like Krista mentioned, and I don't know if anyone has ever been there, but you have a fight. You're working on that current fight, but then you take the fights of the past and go ahead and dump those on top of that fight. And it's just an exhausting cycle. And for us, we became very codependent because neither of us had Christ as an anchor in our life. So we became codependent, which is basically just trying to get your emotional needs met by the other person.
Right.
And it just wasn't working out. So we had a lot of fights, a lot of drama for your mama going on in our relationship. and our friends were actually encouraging us to break up. They said, "You're not better together.
No.
You need to go ahead and break up."
This is before we were married.
Before we were married, exactly.
We had fights so bad that we named our fights after where they happened. So like if Danny says Hollywood Boulevard, I know exactly the fight he's talking about.
Remember that
back
one.
Then. If he says New York City, I know exactly the fight he's talking about. We took separate flights home. You know it's bad when you pay the change fee because you don't want to sit next to somebody on the flight home. You know that's bad.
Am I really that angry?
I would rather pay $500, sir, than sit next to you. And so it was bad. So he gets the crazy idea to start going to church. And I'm like, I've been to church my whole life. Okay, fine, I'll go. We go. And at the end of the service, there was an altar call, which I had never been in a church that has an altar call to go receive Jesus. And Danny's the last person I'm thinking is going to get up and go. So I'm just kind of looking around like, who is going to get up, you know, awkward. And Danny, I like feel him stand up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope he's going to the bathroom. What is he doing? This is an awkward time to go potty, but okay. And so he starts going to the altar, and not just go to the altar, but like his hands were raised and he was crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go home with this guy. We're living together at this time. After the service, he spends like his entire paycheck on new believer materials in the bookstore. And I mean, signs up for like 5 ministries to start serving at this church. He's basically wrestling snakes and speaking in tongues on the way to the parking lot, people. I am like freaked out. Okay, I'm freaked out over here about what's happening.
I mean, if you're going to go in, dive all the way in. Just yeah. One time.
I was so freaked out. And so we go home. We're still living together. He gets out the Bible every day. All of a sudden, starts getting it out and reading it, which irritates me because my heart was not ready for that change. You can have ears, but you can also have ears that don't hear. And you can have a heart, but you can have a heart that is just not willing to receive. And that's okay. We were all in different seasons, but that was definitely the season I was in. I thought I knew it all, could do it all, was fine fighting my way through life and with people and with him. And so he starts reading the Bible, and I would start picking a fight like I would normally do, right? And he stopped fighting back. And that irritated me. Because, you know, if you like to fight, you want, I mean, you need, give me something to work with. You know what I'm saying? I was raised, if you're going to fight, you better win. You know? And so I was like, why is this man not fighting me back? And God was, and it was hard, y'all. I have a lot of words, and at this time in my life, I did not submit them to the Lord, and I didn't think before I spoke. And I said a lot of hurtful things, and he would go, and God would just tell him, just love her. Just love her. Forgive her and love her. And I'd never experienced anything like that. I'd experienced, like, in the South, you're good at, you know, hey, how's it going? And then you talk about that person that you just said hi to, or, you know, it was just, you looked good on the outside, but most people were a mess on the inside. And this man was going through an intrinsic transformation that was real, and was the first time he had, one of the only people that had seen the ugliness that was really going on in here, and still choosing to pursue me and love me. But one of the things God put on his heart, and it was still pursuing me, because he was still putting me first, he broke up with me. Because God said, you're catering to the needs of this woman, and you're losing yourself, and you're unavailable to everybody else right now, and I need you to let me have her. And that was still pursuing me, babe. Letting me go was still pursuing me at that time in your life. So we break up. We move out, but we're still going to that same church, which is fun. Sitting on opposite sides of the sanctuary, you know. I'm raising my hands, looking down at him during worship, making sure he's still there, you know. And there's a women's conference that's coming up at that church. Danny knew about it. He's praying for me during this time we're broken up that I would get to that conference. Now, I went back to all my old familiar ways when we broke up. I got out my phone, called my old friends I used to party with in LA, just went back to what was familiar. And so I went to this women's conference, but I wasn't planning on staying long. I was going to go meet my friends at some club. So I'm standing in the back, and the woman that was speaking that day was like reading my mail. She was irritating me too. She would say everything she was saying was like she'd followed me around my whole life and had been a fly on the wall during our fights and everything, and was just speaking right to my heart. There was 1,000 women at that conference. They have the altar call, again, something I would never do, and here I am. I felt like angelic hosts were pushing me to that altar, and I just wept and just cried, and I didn't even know if I was the only one there or if there were 100 other women with me. To this day, I still don't know, because I was the last one to leave, pretty much the first one up there and the last one to leave, my face down. I called Danny after that conference. He had not been answering my phone calls for the whole entire time we were broken up. The man was done, y'all. He was done. But he answered that night.
Yeah, I answered that night, and I heard something on the other end of the line that was different than I had heard in our dating relationship, and that was humility. And I knew that God had done something special in Kristen's life that night. And to take you back to that fight that she referenced earlier in New York City, I wasn't answering the phone because when we got in that fight and went separate directions in New York City, God truly did speak to me, and he said that I needed to get out of the way so he could enter into a relationship with her. Mm-hmm. That I don't know if you've ever been there before, but when you want your relationship with Christ for someone else, because I had tasted the goodness of God and what he was doing in my life, and I loved the transformation he was making and what he was doing to my heart, and I wanted it for this woman that I loved. But he said, you need to get out of the way, and the greatest thing that you can do for her in this season is pray. And so during that season, I learned that the most powerful thing and the best thing you can ever do for someone special in your life, mm-hmm. and first and foremost, your spouse, and that is to pray. Yeah. That the battle is won on your knees. You can try to manufacture and get into the war of words and all the things that happen in the natural. And man, that will have you in a very chaotic, confused cycle that there really is no answer to. It just gets you more stressed out and bring more anxiety. And for me, I learned the power of prayer, mm-hmm. that there is a warfare going on. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more. I'll tell you this, guys. There's nothing more than the enemy wants to do than make a mockery out of your relationship with your spouse. Yeah. Because God has designed this union under heaven of this marriage to reflect him. Mm-hmm. It's here to glorify Christ. So if that's what God's intending to do and to speak to the world about family and marriage, you better believe that there's an adversary who wants to disrupt that. So if he can find his way into your home and into your marriage and plant seeds of doubt and confusion and division, he's going to win. But he does not have the victory. Jesus has the victory.
That's right.
So that's who we serve. So we made up our mind right there that, A, we can pray in this season of our life and he can get us through this. And the scripture that I stood on was the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I stood on that and believed that it was going to do something in Kristen's life.
And it did. And I'm so grateful that I have a man who prays. So, spoiler alert, we got back together during that time. But we stayed moved out. We stayed in separate places. We made a lot of changes in our relationship. So we really dated a year and a half without Jesus at the center, and then we got back together and had another year and a half of dating before we got married. So many people at our church were like, why don't you guys get married? What's going on? And no one knew the battle that we were fighting and the transformation that was taking place. So just because we had Jesus didn't mean that everything got better and everything was hunky-dory. No, no, no. Back to the whole conflict-free thing. We still have a lot of conflict. But we've realized God's got a bigger purpose for our marriage than just our happiness. Marriage wasn't designed for our happiness, it was designed for our holiness. And holiness, to get to that place, hurts sometimes because it involves dying to ourselves, and that's not easy to do. But I'm so glad that we've learned to get in the Word, we've learned the why for our marriage, and that's really what we want to leave you with today. You got to know the why, or you're going to lose your way in relationships. Especially your marriage. You got to speak the why. Why are we married? Why does God want us to be married? What's the unique purpose that he has for us? There's those universal purposes that he has, which is to raise up a godly seed and to impact others and to bring glory to him. But there's something he has for you guys, whether it's serving together, speaking to other couples, pouring into other couples, discipling. Maybe you work together. Maybe you have separate jobs. But whatever it is, he's got something special that he can only get into the world through you guys. And when you keep that greater purpose in mind, it makes the other what we call low-level warfare, because it truly is.
Yeah.
The fighting about the dishwasher, the cap off the toothpaste moments, the whatever it is. Y'all, at the end of our life, none of that stuff matters.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. But the enemy gets in there and uses those little 10,000 moments that annoy us throughout the day to start slowly chipping away. And if we don't speak against it, if we don't rise above it, if we don't choke the low-level warfare out with the fact that we're soaring together for a higher purpose, then that stuff wins. Half the time you talk to people that, you know, divorce after 50 years of marriage, they can't even really tell you why. It's just they allowed those little moments to choke it out and to suffocate the love that God had there. They didn't let it grow.
Yeah, Krista mentioned knowing the why, or you're going to lose your way. What is your mission statement in your home?
Yeah.
Do you have vision? Do you have purpose? What does it look like? If you have a sports team, if you have a workplace and there is a philosophy or a mission statement that you stand on,
yeah.
What does that look like in your home? We have to know. Chris and I have been through quite a bit in just the 10 short years we've been married.
Right.
We lost a parent. We've lost a child.
We had a miscarriage. We lost a parent at an early age.
Yeah, I lost our kitty cat. So we've gone through quite a bit in just 10 years of marriage. But we know and we've learned that whatever season of life you're in, however long you've been married, that we all truly desperately need Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the answer in this very broken, hurt world. And we want to be signed up for that. We as a family want to say, what are we doing? We don't want to just be a family and a marriage that works out. We want to be one that shines. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be status quo.
Right.
We don't want to be status quo. There are too many marriages, and especially in the church, yeah, that are losing. They're losing the battle. We say we don't want to sign up to be just another statistic of a couple that doesn't make it.
Right.
We want to be on the winning team. We want to be on Christ's team. And that we can shine for him and show the world that he is the answer.
He is the answer, no matter what season of life. We're so honored to be with you guys today. Thank you for giving us any platform at all just to give God glory and to tell you our testimony. We don't take it lightly what he's called us out to do. Give each other grace. Give each other grace. Forgive each other. You know, have fun. Get some laughter in your life. You know, grace. His grace is sufficient. None of us are perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Okay, good. Just making sure. There's no crazy people in here thinking that they're perfect. We were all going to point at you and laugh. So good. We all know that we're imperfect people. So give each other grace.
That's right.
Give each other grace. Can we just pray over your marriages real quick? Father God, we just love you so much, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And that you want what's best for us, that you're for us and you're not against us. Lord, I just thank you for every marriage in here, Father God. We just pray that not one will fail, Lord. We pray that we'll run to you in times of trouble, that we'll be slow to speak and quick to listen, that we won't sin when we're angry. Lord, help us to stay awake and work out our problems and not go to bed mad. Even if we've been married 50 years, Lord, we can always learn something new. Help us to celebrate our differences, to celebrate the fact that we're all uniquely made in your image and your likeness, God.
Lord, and we just speak a hedge of protection around the homes, all the homes, Father, Lord. We just bind the enemy and the attacks on marriage and family. And Father, I just speak to the men right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just pray that these men would stand up, be leaders in their home.
Thank you, Father.
Be the one that takes the initiative, Father, that they would take their rightful place and be spiritual leaders in their home, that they would be the encouragers in their home like they are at the workplace or they are out on the sports field, whatever they're doing, Father, that their first ministry would start in their home.
Yes,
and that they would see that is your priority, Father. So we just put blessing over these families today, Lord. We send them off, Father, Lord, that they would just be a light and a light to the community, the church, the workplace, and that they would shine for you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to allow us to be here at United Methodist Church. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you so much.